Welcome to the Profit Roadmap. Today we have Debbie Sardone sitting down with us. I heard you gave a great presentation a few moments ago. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you. Loved it.
Awesome. So Debbie, tell us, you're very well known in the cleaning industry, but please tell our listeners your background, a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
Sure. I started a long time ago. So I started my cleaning company out of the trunk of my car, like a lot of people do. I had my first baby. I didn't have any skills and we were broke. And I just started cleaning houses. I answered an ad out of the newspaper in the classified section. And I got hired to clean 2 days a week for a couple who just needed help. And that's how I got started. Back then, I only charged $5 an hour.
Wow.
And I thought, I cannot believe people can afford to pay this. So I felt like I was rolling in the dough. And it wasn't long, before I began to start turning away business, because one person would tell another person, then I'd get another client, and they would tell somebody, and all the referrals would fill up my schedule.
Right.
And I started turning away business. And that really bothered me. Because it's like, here's all these people saying, I'd like to pay you. Can you clean my house? And sorry, I'm full.
Right.
Sorry, I'm full. So I finally thought, that doesn't make sense. Why don't I just hire a helper?
Mm-hmm.
And then I started hiring people
to
help me clean so I could say yes and try to keep some of it and pay some of it. And that's when all the problems started.
That's when all the chaos started. Okay.
Yeah. Because when you're cleaning and you're the solopreneur, right?
Yes.
You're a one-man operation. You don't call in sick on yourself. You don't quit when you have a bad day.
Right.
And you don't cut corners.
Right.
But I discovered that wasn't the same philosophy of the people I was hiring.
And so
I went down a journey of trial and error and chaos and, overwhelm and working like a maniac and trying to figure out how to be profitable when you have employees, how to put down the mop and not do the cleaning so I could manage the company instead of clean the houses. And it took a while, but I finally got it figured out. I hired some consultants out of Chicago, Illinois, and they helped me turn my business around. We grew to $1 million within months of hiring them. And the rest is history. Now we do about $3.5 million run rate. We have 60 plus employees.
Right.
And I've been a retired business owner for over 14 years.
That's
so it's
amazing.
100% self-running.
Yeah. Now you're helping many, many, many others do the same thing. I love that.
It's been fun.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, tell me a little bit about that journey when you're first getting started as a woman in the industry and business. What are the opportunities and challenges you faced early on? And what, as you grew?
Well, early on, I just didn't know what I was doing, right? I thought, well, anybody can clean. I have a house. I have to clean it. So early on, I didn't know what I didn't know. So I had a period of time where I had to do the on-the-job learning, the on-the-job training. So first, I had to figure out the thing that I do. And, over time, I figured out you don't say yes to everybody just because they have money. You know, can you organize a drawer? Yes. Can you clean out my garage? Yes. Can you clean my house? Yes. You know, over time, I figured out that I need to figure out what I do, and that's house cleaning.
Right.
And I need to do it really, really well, and I need to stick to that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of business owners, they just say yes to everything because they need the money.
Correct.
But everything doesn't scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do post-construction cleanups and buildings and apartment complexes and homes and short-term rentals and organizing, you never have the opportunity to get really amazing at one thing. You kind of become average at everything.
Right.
It's really the most impossible way to scale.
Right.
As long as it's you doing it, okay, well, you can kind of do everything.
Yeah.
But you can't teach people. You can't train others to do everything. So I would say the first step of the learning curve was figure out what I wanted to do. And I knew after a while, I just want to clean for weekly and bi-weekly clients.
Okay.
I don't want to start with a brand new client every month who wants one time.
Right. Wow. So that's something you just said stuck with me, not saying yes to everything. I know that's something I've experienced in the last year or two, is being okay and not feeling guilty with saying no.
Yes.
And turning away business or opportunities, because you're right. If I'm giving everything to all these five different areas, I'm giving half of myself. I'm not being able to do 100% and give the quality because I'm focused on quantity.
In fact, Warren Buffett says one of the most important things after you become successful is learning to say no.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. It's one of the most important things that we have to learn is where to say no.
Right.
So stick with one thing.
How do you teach people not to be afraid to say no? Like you said, people, like they, if they're desperate, they need the money, just getting started. How do you encourage people to stay the course?
Well, first of all, usually we're fearful because we lack confidence, right? And confidence is built when you are doing a thing and you're successful at that thing. And so once you begin to have confidence that I can find another client doing this thing because I do this thing well, once you have that confidence, it is easier to say no to things that you don't do well, that you're going to have to study, you're going to have to learn, you're going to have to get another certification. It's easier when you have confidence that this one thing that I do, whether it's carpet cleaning or landscaping or lighting or house cleaning, this one thing that I do it so well. I have the confidence that if I say no to you, I can get five more people asking me and I can say yes to them. So I think fear tends to evaporate with confidence, and confidence only comes with capability.
Wow. I love that. Confidence only comes from capability. I love that. That's powerful.
Thank you.
You're dropping like gold nuggets here. So much. At one point you decided to, I'm putting down the mop. I'm delegating. You've been able to delegate these tasks and continue to grow and become a speaker and a consultant. And so what made you make that pivot? What was the choice of, it's time to coach others to, you know, rise up to this level as well?
Well, the first pivot is creating time freedom. Most business owners are maxed out. They are busy. They're working every minute of the day. They're doing. They really don't have time for creativity or innovation. They are so busy. They're working 50, 60 hours a week.
Right.
Right. And so people who start something new usually will watch their other business go into decline. Mm-hmm. It will hurt that other business because they already have every minute of the day committed to the thing they do.
Right.
Or the new thing they try to start doesn't succeed because they didn't have enough time in the first place to divert their attention.
Right.
And so the first place to be able to expand your reach or to expand your empire or your impact, whatever it is you're trying to do, is to create enough systems around your business so that your business does not need you constantly standing there spinning all the plates, right? So you look at most entrepreneurs and they're in their business and they're spinning plates and the plates are not dropping and they're not breaking because they're standing there spinning them.
Right.
And the minute they step away to go do something else, the plates slow down and fall off and break. And then they got to step back in or the business goes into decline.
Right.
So the first step for gaining time freedom, which is what you have to have if you want to start something else, is to systemize your business to the point where it does not need you.
Right.
So my business doesn't need me.
Right.
So I was able to start a nonprofit.
Right.
My business does not need me. So I was able to allocate all of my time to coaching and training other cleaning business owners.
Right.
But if my business needed me, I could never have done those things.
Wow, that's amazing.
That doesn't mean I don't care about my business. And it doesn't mean I don't get metrics and numbers every single week.
Right.
So that I can stay on top of numbers that are in decline or processes that are falling apart or systems that they stop following. So I have reports, end of day reports, end of week reports, monthly reports that I review just to make sure it doesn't go into decline. But the business doesn't need me to make sure those activities are getting done and being done right.
That's a good point. Like even once you step away, you're still there watching. Like
you're still responsible.
You're still at the end of the day. Do you feel like the buck still stops with me?
100%.
Okay.
100%. So we recently, I had to replace a high-level leader in my company a few months ago. And even though I'm 100% absentee, I have to take full responsibility that within a couple of years, I had seen the culture that I had worked so hard to build, an amazing culture that I worked hard to build,
right,
and that my 25-year office manager had worked hard to maintain,
right,
as I retired. I had watched a new leader step in, not really know what he was doing, and inadvertently had allowed the culture to decline. and to spiral downward. And at the end of the day, I have to look in the mirror and go, well, then that's my fault because I'm the owner. I own the company. That's my fault. And I have to make a leadership change, which is not fun.
No.
Right?
No.
That's hard. It's sometimes it's easier just to ignore it.
Right.
Right. But I did. I made a leadership change. It was a very tough decision. We have a new leader in there. And within 3 months, he's turned the culture around.
That's amazing.
It's because we have a system.
Right.
And if it's followed, you attract the right people. And if you attract the right people, you can have the right culture.
Right.
So many people are out there trying to create culture with cupcakes and Barbie parties. It's like I like to say, or, you know. Whatever it is that people like to do, right?
Right.
Nap rooms and beanbag chairs. Those are perks.
To attract people.
That's not culture.
What is culture?
Culture is the way people behave and treat each other. So I don't care how many cupcake parties you throw or beanbag chairs you have in your office. Culture is how the employees and the customers treat each other. So when you allow C players to grow on your team and you don't get rid of C players, people that are undermining things, people that are hurting each other, hurting the other, their coworkers, taking advantage of your customers, they don't care about the job, they have a toxic attitude. When you tolerate C players, it's contagious.
Right.
So A players don't tend to rub off on B players or C players, but C players rub off on everybody.
They do. They contaminate.
So if you want a good company culture, you have to make the tough choice. And it is tough. It's hard. You have to make the tough choice to identify who doesn't really want to be here, who really doesn't want to be here. And they will show you who they
are. They'll show you. Okay.
You just have to believe them.
Okay.
It's like I always tell people, when they show you who they are, believe them.
That's true. I've heard
believe
that
them.
Many
You're like,
times.
No, maybe. Oh, let me give her another try. Let me give him another chance. When they show you who they are, believe them. Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank, he loves to say this, and I agree with him so much. The first inkling you had to fire someone, you were right.
Trust your instinct.
You were right. How many times have we waited months, and in some cases years, to fire someone that we knew 3 years ago or 8 months ago they needed to go? And we were right back then. And so the first step in building a truly amazing culture in your company, from employees to customers, is to get rid of the C players.
Wow.
Don't be afraid to fire a bad customer, right?
Okay, I was going to ask because that's something that comes up with firing a customer.
Yes.
So there is a case for that. There
Absolutely.
Is. Wow.
Because if you say that this is my culture and these are my core values, but you tolerate a customer who mistreats your employees.
Correct.
Okay. Who's toxic, who's nasty, who makes your office staff's lives miserable, and you tolerate them for the money, you have just demonstrated that you will violate your core values for money.
Right.
Or if you tolerate a C player because it's a lot, you know, it's hard to find workers.
Right.
Then you've just demonstrated that the C player is making me money, so I'm going to keep them.
Right.
You see, you've traded your core values and you've lived your core values, the real ones.
Right.
The real core values, money first, right?
Mm.
If you know, so many people have core values in a handbook and on the wall. We have them on our wall, right? And it's people first.
Right.
People over profits.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Were we living our core values when we kept bad employees because it was easier than firing them? We weren't living our core values.
Right.
So core values, back to your original question, it is the way we treat each other.
Right.
That's the true proof of your core values and the culture you say you want to build. Culture is not cupcakes and parties. It's how people treat each other.
It's how we treat people
how
we behave. And through that, just trust everything else will come. The resources, the money will come and follow through those opportunities.
And then the hard part is the culture, right? The hard part is attracting what I call A players.
How do you find those people?
Well, you find those people, number one, by not keeping C players. Because when you attract an A player and they join your team and they see 25% of your staff are C players, they're out. A players won't stay.
Yeah.
C players will. A players won't.
Because they'll watch and see, okay, this is what's been tolerated.
This is what they tolerate. I'm out of here. I'm an A player. I don't want to be around this. Right. So the biggest part of attracting A players is to make sure you are not tolerating C players.
Wow. That's amazing. Oh, goodness. So what are some of the challenges that some of the businesses that you work with or have consulted with, what are some of the, like, common challenges that you see working with?
And I'm going to say these common challenges are typical amongst almost any business, and especially all service industry businesses.
Okay.
And so it doesn't just apply to maid service, but the people who own residential cleaning companies are primarily who I work with. Mm-hmm. But some of the biggest challenges that everybody faces is, number one, finding and keeping quality employees, right? That's the biggest challenge, labor. Finding and keeping quality employees. Some companies can find them, but they can't keep them.
Right.
Some companies can't even find them, right?
Wow.
So you have to overcome that challenge. And I'm going to say in the service industry, contrary to what you've read and heard from, you know, Fortune 500 companies that operate differently than small service companies, is pay is the number one place to look.
I was about to ask, right. What about pay? Yeah.
Right. Okay. Everybody wants to attract A players with C player pay. Mm. You cannot attract an A player with C player pay. Okay. So if you want amazing people, then you need to attract them with amazing pay.
Right.
And too many of us are afraid to put it out there that we pay X, let's say the top of the pay scale inside your company. We're afraid to put that out there. Because we've been burned by C players.
Right.
Just put it out there and attract A players. And then get rid of your C players if they're not worth it.
There you go.
Pay better. That is step one.
Okay.
Step two. Most service businesses, especially small service businesses that started out doing the work themselves, are undercharging. Mm. Almost every new client we bring on, when we do an analysis of their fees, they're 20 to 30% under market value.
Wow.
It's like, oh, people won't pay that in my area. Not true. You have not because you asked not.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Don't be afraid.
Charge more.
Right.
Are you worth it? Yes. Are you worth more than the underground competition? Yes. Then why are you trying to compete with pricing that the underground competition charges?
Right.
Charge more. In most cases, we're undercharging. So many things improve when you charge more. Number one, you have more money to pay better.
That's
number
true.
Two, you make enough profit to finally make this job worth it to you.
Right.
And then you have enough profit to do some marketing. Mm-hmm. So that brings me to point number three. Most service businesses are under marketing. Mm. They're not spending enough time, effort, energy, or dollars to win clients.
Right.
Plain and simple. It's like, well, I spend, and then they say the number, and that got you where you are. It's not going to double you.
Wow.
Raise your marketing budget in most cases.
Yeah.
So that was number three. I'm going to say number four. This one, I don't hear anybody talking about this. Number four, the biggest challenge is understanding that you have to market above attrition. Wow. So attrition is that predictable number of clients who will leave your business no matter what.
Right.
You know, the U.S. Postal Service says 25% of Americans move every year.
Right.
Maybe they move just across the street, but maybe they move out of town and you lose them forever.
Right.
So there's a lot of reasons that we lose clients that are no fault of our own. We have to get over it. You have to market above your attrition. So at a certain size business level, you will lose a certain number of customers every month predictably.
Right.
Once you know your attrition, you just market above it so you can grow.
Right.
So that was number four.
Right.
And then what would be number five on my list of top things? So, you know, hire better, obviously retain them better. Well, number five, and I think this is just as critical as everything else I've said, is build a recurring business.
Okay.
And stop shooting for the high-paying one-time jobs.
Okay.
Do whatever you can to win clients for life. So
recurring,
like, we can
services.
Get $600-$700 for a move out clean, but we may never get to service them again because they're moving away. Mm-hmm. Or we can get $200 for a first time clean that signs up weekly for life, mm-hmm. or bi-weekly for life. We should pour all of our energy in winning recurring business, whether it's weekly mowing or whatever it is. We should put all of our efforts in winning recurring, and then we shouldn't ignore them after we've won them. Most of us are so busy chasing the next new client, mm-hmm. that we ignore our recurring clients. So work your head off to keep the clients you have.
Wow. keep in contact with them. Keep a pulse.
Yeah. Don't just talk to your clients when there's a rate increase or a day change or, oh, I'm sorry, we can't make it out today. We had a problem. Don't just talk to them when there's a problem.
Check in with them.
Check in with them. Send them cards. Mm-hmm. Gift them things. We give discounts to new clients to attract them. And we never give discounts to our regular clients.
Exactly.
Offer them a spring special at a discount or a winter whatever, special. Some freebies. Yeah. Nurture those recurring clients. Don't ignore them. They're not guaranteed to be yours for life.
That's very true. So what factor does the economy play into this? Because some people say, oh, well, Debbie, it's recession or the customers are tightening their purses. Are they still going to be willing to pay these prices and have us come out? So what? How do you like get over those fears?
That's a great question. Here's the best way to get over those fears. The right clients are not affected by the recession. The right fit clients that you did not attract because you were the cheapest service in town. You attracted clients because of the highest value, the best reputation, the incredible cause that you're a part of. You attracted them for those reasons, and it had nothing to do with price.
Right.
And so they didn't bat an eyelash when you were more. And people who spend more when they could have bought the cheaper version are almost never affected by the recession.
Right.
So wealthy people aren't selling their Lexus and moving to a smaller house in a recession. It's the middle class and the poor that are struggling in a recession,
right?
But wealthy people, when you attract people who pay for value, who will pay more for quality, they also don't cut you when a $10 coupon shows up in the mail or there's some tightening of the economy.
Wow.
So attract the right customers from the first place, and they're more likely to stay with you in the ups and the downs.
Wow.
As long as you don't ignore them and you nurture the relationship.
And see, that brings me back to something you mentioned with marketing, how people are under budget with their marketing. And I've spoken to a lot of people on this podcast this weekend about marketing and the importance of it. Like, how critical of a role is marketing?
If you don't have an automated, systemized way to constantly bring in new business, cold leads, you're never going to grow. You'll never reach your potential. Any of us can win over our warm leads, right?
Correct.
A friend, a neighbor, somebody at church, somebody my customer referred me to. Those are all yeses, right? Because they're warm. They're actually hot leads. But you can only grow so fast and grow so big with those warm and hot leads and of referrals. You have to have a steady stream of cold traffic knocking on your door, ringing up your phone, or you will not grow. You will not reach your potential. So you have to continually spend money on marketing, and the marketing budget as you grow has to continually grow.
Right.
It has to continually grow. The Small Business Administration says that a business must spend 7 to 8% of their revenue on marketing. Wow. And that's a big budget. That's huge. If you want to grow fast and aggressive, you've got to spend 10%, which is really hard for most people.
Right.
So what that means is cherish every lead. Don't ignore your prospects and your leads. Work those leads. Follow up with those leads because you paid good money to get those leads in the door. And at least market, I say, get that budget above 5% of your revenue for marketing. If you can spend 6 or 7%, you'll probably grow fairly steady. And if you can spend more than that on effective marketing, choose wisely, then you will grow.
Yep. Excellent. You also mentioned something about focusing on one thing. Just going to like circle back to that. So let's say in the cleaning industry we're talking about, we focus on the residential. Once we're pretty steady there, can we start looking at other divisions or opportunities?
Absolutely. So once you master your vertical, you know what you're doing. That business doesn't need you to stand there all day and spin plates and give orders and give directions and put out fires. Then you have time to shift your energy to a new vertical. So you see a new place that you can enter the market. You're kind of saturated over here. The team doesn't need you. Things are running relatively smoothly as long as you're looking at end of day reports and having your regular level 10 meetings if you follow the traction systems. And things are running so smoothly. As entrepreneurs, we don't want to be bored, right? We don't want to do nothing.
Keep growing.
Like, things are running so smoothly, I have a new opportunity and I should say yes.
Right.
And it makes sense and aligns with my industry. It fits the service industry. And so that is the best time to add a vertical, whether it's carpet cleaning or window washing or whatever.
Right.
But only when everything else is so systemized, it doesn't start to fall apart and become neglected.
Correct. Okay. And so with that, I'm sure you've had many success stories. I mean, I know you have. But is there one that sticks out to you in particular? Or
You know, I have one success story, but there's so many that I could tell you. But there's one that has always meant a lot to me. And she's actually one of our CBF coaches now. So she's not only fixed her broken business, stopped doing the cleaning, is now managing an incredible team and built this amazing culture. But when she first found CBF, she wasn't a coach yet. She was struggling. She was thinking to herself, why did I buy this cleaning business? I've been so successful in the other ventures I've had. She came out of the restaurant industry. And she said, Debbie, and I asked her, I said, what's important to you? Why do you need to succeed? Why do you need to fix your business now? And she said, my only child is going to go off to college in 2 years. And I'm spending day and night on this business. It's consuming my time. We can't even take a vacation if the business starts to fall apart. She said, I want the last 2 years of my son living at home as my kid. I want to be there for him.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to take him on a vacation and not be on the phone and doing payroll and putting out fires. And she said, that's what I want. I want his last 2 years in high school to be meaningful instead of a mom who's stressed out, in a bad mood, and can't talk now because I'm putting out another fire. And wow. So she joined the program, and within a year, she turned her business around.
That's amazing.
She got it well over $1 million. It became a hands-free business within a few short years. And she spent that last 18 months, almost 24 months, with her son, fully present. And she said the most important thing to her was they did a family vacation his senior year, a nice Caribbean vacation. And she said she didn't check in with her office once.
Wow.
It was the most peaceful, uninterrupted vacation she had had in a long time. And that story stands out for me because it's really not about the money.
Yeah.
Right? Money is just a tool to get what you want.
Right.
Money buys you people to do things.
Yes,
money
it does.
Buys you time to live the life that you dreamed of when you started your business. So it really isn't really about the money. It's just that if you don't succeed, you won't have the money to do the things that you built the business to do.
Wow. That sounds amazing. It sounds also very personal too. Just
it is.
Making it about people. And gosh. So, okay. CBF, like what is your proudest thing about that? Like what?
The proudest thing I am of CBF, Cleaning Business Fundamentals. And remember I said, you know, pick one thing and do it well. And I believe in pick one thing and do it better than anybody.
Yeah.
We only train residential cleaning business companies. We don't train everybody in business, everybody in the cleaning business. If you don't own a residential cleaning business, you're not a good fit for me.
Wow.
So because we do one thing and we do it better than anybody else, the biggest thing I'm proud of is we have created more mop-free millionaires than anybody on the planet.
I love that.
Anybody
Seriously,
on the planet.
I love that slogan.
We have more cleaning business owners that after 10 years of cleaning, 20 years of cleaning, one joined our program. She had been cleaning for 40 years.
Wow.
40 years. I thought, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to teach her anything? Put down the mop and never clean again and build a powerful team and finally make the money and create the time she always craved. And so our proudest moment is creating mop-free millionaires.
That is amazing.
We love it. It's so fun.
Wow.
It is so fun.
Why is it so important to help people for you?
I love to help other people make more money.
Okay.
My husband laughs at me. He's like, you love to help people make money and you don't even have time to spend money yourself. And it's true. It's true. It's like, I love to make money. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun. And I love to teach other people how to make money because I didn't know how.
Mm.
And I was frustrated. I almost quit. I almost gave it up. And I'm so glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Look at all the people I wouldn't have helped if I'd given up like so many other businesses and said, this is for the birds.
Wow.
It's not worth it. I don't make enough. I'm always stressed out and I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
Well, I was there.
Yeah.
But I fixed it. And now I get to help other people fix their broken business and live the dream that business is supposed to afford.
Oh my gosh. And you have quite the legacy because of that. So if you're listening, Cleaning Business Fundamentals, and you want somewhere to get started, please check them out. And I do have one more question for you. With the trends, the industry is changing, right? And that's all around for home service.
Get out of the sun here.
I know. For home service, cleaning industry, field service, the industry trends are always changing with technology. Where do you see the future of in the cleaning industry with those industry trends?
That's an exciting question because everybody is questioning the field they've chosen, right?
Right.
And there are so many industries that are being absolutely turned upside down and maybe eliminated because of all of the AI, ChatGPT,
right.
All of these new technologies. They're not going away. They're growing faster and taking over sooner.
Right.
But here's the beauty of the service industry, right?
Right.
There is no AI that's going to come and clean your toilet,
right,
or pull your weeds or mow your grass. We are in the best industry for this age of technology that's about to expand with more robots and more intuitive AI. We are basically untouched.
I love that.
Yet we can take advantage of it. So now I use ChatGPT every single day to write an email, to write a difficult letter when you have to fire a customer, right? To write out my core values and make them sound better,
right.
To write an email sequential campaign.
Right.
So I'm using these technologies in my own business, but the service industry is not being affected to any degree that we have to worry about right now. So I think if you're in the service industry, you are in the right space because we're not being disrupted.
Right.
And you know, when COVID hit in 2020, so many businesses went under. They closed their doors forever, including some service businesses.
Correct.
But others grew as a result.
They did.
We saw restaurants pivot and make more money than they had ever made with takeout and
delivery,
right?
Yes.
And then other restaurants couldn't pivot and they went under and gave up.
Correct.
Right? Our maid service, we pivoted.
Right.
We gave that message to our clients that we know you need us more
Correct.
Now than ever.
Correct.
And we're here for you.
Absolutely.
So our customers didn't run away scared. Now, some of them did and some of them had to.
Correct.
But so many of them realized, yes, I need a clean and sanitary home.
Exactly. That was
a part of the
pivot. You're cleaning. You're
right.
Exactly.
Well, we our message pivoted, right? So when times get dangerous, when times get scary, when times change on you,
right.
You must pivot or you will not survive. And so our original message for so many years in my business was, you deserve it, right? You deserve to have a clean home, right? You deserve this luxury. But because of COVID,
right.
We pivoted and our message shifted in everything to, we know you need us now more than ever.
Oh, wow.
Cleaning is a part of the solution.
Yes.
And when you pivot,
right.
You win. And then you buy out your competitors who go under.
That's amazing. Stay the course.
Stay the course.
Wow.
Don't give up. Pivot.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Debbie. This was amazing. Any other closing thoughts or if anyone wants any information on TBF or any other details of your business?
Absolutely.
You give them some information.
Well, if you need to grow your residential cleaning business or fix your residential cleaning business, go to cleaningbusinessfundamentals.com. Cleaningbusinessfundamentals.com. I know it's long. Or you can go to DebbieSardone.com. That's easy. If you own a residential cleaning business or if you're in any home service, please consider being a part of our nonprofit, Cleaning for a Reason.
Yeah.
We've provided over 50,000 free house cleaning services to
That's
families
amazing.
Battling cancer.
Yeah.
And so you can join our nonprofit either by donating to make a difference or if you own a house cleaning company, by serving cancer patients in your community. You can go to cleaningforreason.org.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Debbie, for joining us. And for everyone listening in, if you enjoyed this, please stream and listen on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and more. You can visit our show notes at serviceautoply.com/podcast or email us at profitroadmap@exploretechnologies.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.